This is your podcast for all things refinishing. I'm Lane Ball with Zebras Before and After. Welcome to Season 4, Episode 11, interviewing the Best Of category winners, and the third annual International Zebra Golden Brush Awards continues. Today, we chat with Shelley Luer with Basalt Mesa Studio, who won Best Close-Up. Shelley discusses her winning piece and shares how she achieves these great close-up shots. Emily with 1379 Design shares a great tip on sealing your pieces. We'll find out what Ashley with a Vintage Perspective, Patricia with Freshened Finishes NJ, and Katie with Grain and Paint Designs are working on in their studios this week. Host Jen Talley of the Zebra Spring Furniture Flip shares great information and encouragement to get you started in the spring flip beginning tomorrow, May 5th. Kelly with Patina Design receives accolades this week from a fellow refinisher, Aaron with Refurbished-ish. Stay with us. We have the inspiration, fun, and community that will platform your day. Well, we are having a lot of fun interviewing each of the 10 winners from the Zebra Golden Brush Awards. Today, we have the privilege of chatting with Shelley of Basalt Mesa Studio. Shelley has inspired and impressed so many over the last few years with her incredible refinishing talent. We are going to learn more about Shelley's work and how she achieves these award-winning close-up shots of her refinished pieces. Hi, Shelley. So nice to have you back on Zebras Before and After.
Hi, Lane.
Hey, listen, we have talked about this in previous podcasts, but you are in, I believe it's Grand Junction, Colorado?
Yes, Grand Junction, Colorado, on the western slope of the Rocky Mountains.
Okay, so for those who aren't Coloradans, tell us where that is in relation to the larger cities like Denver in the Northeast. And you said you're on the western slope.
Right.
So that's got to be a long ways from Denver.
It is a long ways from Denver. It's 260 miles probably. Yeah, over the Continental Divide. So we're clear over on the other side. We're in like a high desert area. Uh-huh. We're close to the Colorado National Monument. In fact, we're kind of between the Colorado National Monument and the Grand Mesa.
Yeah, I think I remember you mentioning that in a previous podcast.
Yeah, it's beautiful country here. Wide open spaces.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. It's like the sky is just so vast, isn't it?
Yes, it definitely is.
So you got to tell me, what's the weather like these days?
Well, it's kind of typical spring weather. We've had some horrible wind.
Really? Is that normal for spring for you guys?
Yeah, it gets pretty windy here in the spring. It lasts a little while. But today it's calm. It's nice out. We did get a little bit of rain last week, so things are greening up. And we are still suffering from some drought, so it's pretty dry. But, you know, typical springtime weather. You can walk around in shorts and a t-shirt now. And it's good hiking weather, good cycling weather. Good furniture refinishing weather with the garage door open, that kind of weather.
it's so nice, isn't it? I mean, it's almost like we're coming out of hibernation.
Oh yeah. You know, if it would only last through the summer and not become boiling hot.
I know. That's like, we were sitting outside the other day and it was just like that ideal temperature, like 70 degrees, blue sky.
Yep.
And a little bit of a breeze, but it wasn't like uncomfortably windy. Right. And we were like, oh, just savor this, you know, because like you just said, I mean, at least here in the South on the East Coast, it gets really humid.
Yes.
And so, you know, we kind of dread that humidity.
Yeah, but we don't have the humidity here at all. In fact, it's incredibly, you know, arid. Yeah. So, yeah, you have to put on a lot of lotion, and we don't have the bugs like you guys have in the humid summer months. Yeah. But it's, I really like it here.
Yeah, the paper, regular paper out here droops.
It gets
saturated with the dampness.
I lived in Missouri for a really short time, and the summer there was humid and hot, super sticky.
yeah. Well, it's still better than winter, at least for me. I enjoy the heat, so I'm cool with that.
Oh, do you? Okay. Well. To each his own.
Exactly.
I'm more of a wintertime girl.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know what? They're all valuable because, at least for me, the winter's cozy. You know, you're indoors more often, and it's a good time to kind of settle down. And then when winter comes to a close, you're ready for spring, and you're ready to get outside. And as you said earlier, wear shorts and t-shirts, and just be in the air. So that's nice.
All the seasons have their benefits.
Yeah. So how has your business been so far this year?
It's kind of typical. It started out pretty strong, I would say, and has I'm happy I have some custom work to kind of fill in the gaps. It just depends. Gas is real expensive right now, and there's a lot of inflation, so I think people don't have as much discretionary money. So it has slowed down a little bit, but I have sold a few pieces here, and I have some great custom work. I did just sell the nightstand vanity conversion and cedar chest that I just posted this past week. So yeah, I'm doing okay.
Have you seen a an increase in furniture to refinish? Have you seen an increase in price, I should say, in the furniture that you seek to refinish?
Yes, so typically in the spring, when people start moving and buying new houses and moving out of the area into the area and out of the area, you see a lot of yard sales and quite a few new things listed on Marketplace. But yeah, I am seeing higher prices on used furniture, but I'm also seeing that furniture sit for a very long time before it finally gets reduced and sold. So, I can understand wanting more for your used furniture. But yeah, I think that some people have caught on that people are refinishing furniture and making money reselling it. But that, a broken piece of furniture is still just a broken piece of furniture until someone puts all that work into it. So, I guess it just comes around. It is what it is. And I find what I need, and I think most people find what they're looking for out there. It kind of just you just have to keep looking and occasionally find a good deal.
And as you kind of touched on, you have to be patient, I think, as well. I mean, when you see something, don't, just let it sit if you have to, because the bottom line is, if you can't purchase it at a as at a reason at a reasonable price and make money off of it, then it's not worth the effort.
I've found that the thrift stores here locally have been actually really expensive. The prices on used furniture at thrift stores has really gotten prohibitive. So I mostly shop for my used pieces on Marketplace. I, find an occasional good deal at like a Goodwill or one of the Arc thrift stores here, but it just kind of depends. You just have to hope that you get there on the right day and find a good deal. But you just have to keep looking. It's a pretty consistent effort.
So, speaking of refinishing, what part of refinishing are you most passionate about?
The finished product, I think that's it sounds weird, but honestly, the end goal is what keeps me going. The excitement about getting an old clunky piece of furniture and putting all that work into it and then seeing that finished product at the end, that's what gets me excited about it. Just having the vision and then making it come together and then taking that picture of it and there it is. I mean, it just that's really what keeps me going.
And you must be patient with the process then.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about the prep work. So have a vision, but don't shortcut. I mean, I've been guilty of shortcutting, early on, and at the end, I would have to go back and redo things. And it just so, yeah, definitely focus on the prep work. It's tedious and can take longer than you want it to. And sometimes you have to walk away from a piece that you have this vision for, and maybe it's not coming together. I mean, for me personally, I'll look at something for too long and feel like, oh, in fact, I would say probably every piece I work on, it goes through the I hate it stage at one point where it really, I'm not kidding. It's just, yeah, where I'll just have to be patient and work through that and then get to the finish where you put the hardware on and voila, there it is.
That's good advice. I mean, if you get to the hate it stage, it's probably when you need to walk away from it and give it some time.
Yeah, definitely a good sleep on it is definitely helpful. Sometimes if I'm at the hate it stage and then I sleep on it, I'll wake up in the morning and I'll think, oh, well, this is why, I'm not liking this, and I'll just make a design change or whatever, and then, it'll come together.
Remind us, Shelley, how many years you've been refinishing?
Probably, I guess, I've done a lot of refinished furniture over the years, you know, working on things for my own house. But for 3 years, I've been actually doing it to produce, you know, furniture for other people.
Yeah, that's excellent. That's very good. Well, we're eager to hear about your Zebra Golden Brush Awards win. Shelley won Best Close-Up. And as I have mentioned on all the GBA interviews, it was a tough competition as there were thousands of amazing entries. Let's talk about your win. Shelley, tell us about your piece and this particular close-up shot.
Well, I really, really appreciate it. I was so surprised, and I want to especially thank all the judges and everybody that participated in that. What a huge effort, because I know so many people entered the contest. And so super huge surprise, and I'm really grateful. And so this particular piece had a kind of a fun beginning. It was a free piece. I've gotten maybe two free pieces my whole refinishing career. And this was one I found on Marketplace. It was so ugly. I thought this looks like the front end of a bus. And so, but you know, it's free. So maybe I can, you know, just fix it up and then just flip it. But anyway, I went and picked it up, and it had the most amazing hardware. It was really tarnished. It had like football stickers on the front of it. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. And then it had this really neat scroll detail on the bottom and really nice chunky fat legs. And I'm a leg girl. I love anything that has, you know, spindly legs or fat legs or turned legs. I just like that kind of detail. So I brought it home, and I actually had that sitting for quite some time in my garage, and finally got started on it, came up with a plan. And once I started prepping it and putting it together, I thought, well, look at all this pretty detail once you get all this old finish off, and and decided on that nice bright contrast. So I sanded the areas that are natural wood on there, and I did a little bit of a test on there to see what it would look like if it was just left natural with a top coat. And sure enough, it ended up with that really nice, warm, kind of golden, just warm wood tone without having to do a wash or anything on it. Sometimes when I sand a leg back, you know, you'll sand them back and then you'll put a top coat on and it'll just turn a really not very good color. So this was a lucky one there, and the contrast with the white was really nice. Anyway, I finished this piece up, and there is a drawer detail on the bottom drawers that creates kind of a box you can kind of see in the picture. And the whole time I was working on it, I had those two drawers in the right position to create that detail box on the face of the piece. And then when I did a hardware change on it. So I took the close up, and then the next day I changed the hardware and I put those drawers in the wrong position and took the pictures, edited them, and never even knew that I did that until another artist messaged me, and she said, "Hey, did you realize that those drawers are in the wrong position?" And I edited those pictures and never even noticed it. But anyway, that's in the actual posting with all those pictures, that those drawers are in the wrong position. But it doesn't really necessarily affect the look of the piece. But and in the actual close up that won the GBA, the drawers were in the right position for that that picture. Yeah. So you can see just the corner of the detail there. But anyway, yeah, kind of a silly story there. But so, you know, I make mistakes. I can't believe I edited all those pictures and missed that. But so when I took that close up, I have my staging wall is north facing. And so I open my garage door and the light comes in from the west. And so I take a lot of pictures from this angle that picture is taken from, just because with black or white furniture, it tends to get a real unfortunate reflection. It picks up a lot of imperfections or wood grain or whatever. So I'll often take a picture from that angle because that seems to produce the most authentic color and light for the piece that I'm photographing. Mm-hmm. And that one was a pretty lucky shot. I usually look at it from a lot of different angles. In fact, I took a photography class years and years ago, and the instructor had an 8x10 mat that she would use occasionally. She said, you know, if you're looking for an actual close up or whatever, you can hold this mat until you kind of develop an eye, and you can just look at things through this mat, hold it maybe 2 feet from your face and look through there to kind of capture just those images and kind of remove some of the distractions from outside the image. So, you know, that's something that you could keep in mind for that. But this one, it just had that real sweet detail on the bottom with the little fat legs. And I just thought it was just an amazing, you know, the light and the contrast. Mm-hmm. And it was just probably the sweetest detail on the whole piece is just that bottom area there.
Yeah, I love your description in your IG post on this. It was really great. You wrote, after a week at the spa and a fresh new outfit, she's dressed to light up a room.
Yeah.
All the way, says, very poetic there.
Yeah, that's kind of what it felt like, because she was, like I said, she looked like the front end of a bus at first, and then just a nice little change of clothes. And
yeah, she got a makeover. She feels good about herself now.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That's so good. And that's so funny that you mentioned that on the drawers, because until you said that, I
didn't notice.
It's like a sore thumb now. but I even look at it now, and if I had noticed it, maybe I probably would have thought, well, maybe that was just to not create, you know, that box shape.
Right. Yeah. If you look at the before picture, when I brought it home, those drawers were in that wrong position. And after I took it all apart, prepped it and everything, and put it back together, I put those drawers in the right position. And then I was so excited to take pictures of it that I took it apart, changed out the hardware, put it back together, and boom, did it wrong. it was crazy. So anyway, that dresser is now at my daughter's house in my future granddaughter's bedroom.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. You know, it's funny, we talked about earlier about when you get to the stage where you hate the process or you hate the piece, you step away from it. It's interesting how, like, you know, when you get embedded into something, that's why it is so important to step away, because sometimes you do miss details. And it's interesting with this drawer, because I mean, here you were working on it, editing it, doing all that kind of stuff. And it's just, and then, you know, after you publish it or you, post it, then all of a sudden it's like, oh my goodness.
I know. Yeah. I got that message from Joanna at Painted by the Penny, and she's just got an amazing eye for detail. And she sent me that message, and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I missed that. But there it is.
Yeah, that's okay. So we all do that with multiple things for sure.
Yes.
Well, it certainly had beautiful results. I really like the combining the white with the natural wood tones that frame everything.
That's not kind just of my
the
favorite.
Body. Yeah. Not just the body, but the drawers as well. I think that's really cool. Now, as I look at this close-up shot, that won best close-up, I see that detail there. Now, was that detail that runs across the bottom drawer?
Yeah.
Was that filled with paint? Because it looks like it almost looks like a carving detail. I'm not talking about the scroll work at the bottom, but there's some.
Long piece along the bottom. Uh-huh. Yeah. No, that was just, it was all stained. So I just went back through and sanded all that out of there. Yeah.
Oh, gosh,
I'm sorry. I'm not
work.
Looking at the picture, and I'm having a time trying to recall.
Yeah. No, that looks like a lot of work. Did you go through, now what do you do when you're sanding small pieces like that? Do you just fold sandpaper? Or do you have a special tool?
So I have a surf prep, I use for larger areas, but most of all that detail work is done by hand. And I have these little rubber discs, or I guess they're like little rubber squares with different shapes. So they'll be rounded on one edge, and then they'll have a sharp edge. So I use that to fold sandpaper over. Those are incredibly helpful. I found those on Amazon, and I use the heck out of those. So yeah, getting the sandpaper right up in there. I also have a set of fine tooth files with the sharp pointy edges to kind of dig the, and this is what I was saying about prep work, you know, it is tedious to dig all that old finish or what, you know, be it shellac or paint or whatever out of those tiny details, but it gives it such a crisp, clean, new look. And that's kind of what you're looking for when, if you want a really nice finish for those details. And, you know, sometimes when I sand things, I do leave some old stain behind. I always try to always remove all of the old finish top coat, but leaving some stain behind adds, you know, shadowing and detail. And so once you put a wash or whatever on over the top of it, it'll oftentimes kind of add to the look.
Yeah, I agree. And sometimes that's just a little bit of the history showing through.
Yeah, definitely.
You also had a few other great close-ups of this piece. Do you generally post at least one close-up of each piece you refinish?
I do. I like close-ups. I mean, the details on these different pieces are, to me, I just kind of like to capture what I see as the most special, this most special image of each piece. This one had a lot of neat. I think the other close-up you were talking about is in the actual post with the drawer open. So you can see the liner, the hardware, the wood tone, and then that really pretty white. And it just, the contrast is just super duper nice.
Yeah. So I got to ask you this. As I was scrolling through your account and I was looking at your close-ups, and that's not new to us because we pay attention to that with our Zebra Furniture Art Awards that we issue each week, and you've won those too. But how did you choose, how did you arrive at this one, which was obviously the right decision, but you have a lot of phenomenal close-ups. So how did you make that decision?
I think for this one was really the simplicity. I have some other close-ups, but what was, I like a close-up that has more to do with the actual piece rather than maybe props or other images.
Yeah.
This, just the beautiful leg with the pretty trim and this, you know, the scroll work on there, the contrast, it has some hardware in it and very little background or prop work. So I think that's what made this piece so special was just, it's just about this piece of furniture and just the amazing detail of this piece of furniture. So I think that's what did it for me.
We're going to take a quick break. And when we return, Shelley is going to share a few tips on how to achieve those great close-up shots.
Hi, my name is Diana with the Pink Pine Cone, and this podcast is sponsored by my friends at Zebra. I have almost every brush that Zebra offers, and I love them all. They give a really smooth paint application and come in tons of different shapes, so whatever project you have, they have a brush for it. I would say, though, the Palm Pro is one of my go-to brushes. It's super comfortable to use, and it gets right into those small areas, and I don't have to worry about that long handle banging up against everything. So if you haven't already, I would definitely recommend trying out one of these brushes. They do not disappoint.
Thank you for your kind words, Diana. We are back with Shelley, best close-up winner in the 2021 International Zebra Gold Brush Awards. Shelley, how important is it to have a few close-up shots in your social media post along with your full straight-on furniture shot?
Oh, yeah, I love a great close-up. I think part of the reason I like looking at furniture is just seeing the details that people capture, even with pieces that don't have terrific or like really special individual details. They'll capture images of a paint contrast or a paint detail or whatever. And I just think that that really captures the imagination and character of a piece of furniture. So I always try to get a couple of close-ups of all of my furniture. I think it looks great. You know, it captures people's attention on social media, as well as, you know, people that might be interested in buying a piece of furniture. You want to kind of highlight those really special details of a piece. It also, I think a good close-up will show the quality of your finish. You know, you can also kind of highlight things that might not be quite as visible from just a dead on shot.
And I think just as you mentioned, I think, you know, you mentioned the character of a piece, and that's what a close-up does. And I think that honestly, the character is what sells the piece, really.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I usually walk around. Well, obviously, we spend a lot of time with each piece we work on. And I usually, once I stage it up, I walk around it and look at it from a lot of different angles through my camera, and just, you know, standing back and kind of assessing what might be the best angle to capture the best details.
So do you have to work hard at taking these close-ups? You mentioned walking around it. Do you find though, like when you actually get your camera or your phone, do you feel like it just kind of comes natural to you as you take these photographs?
No, I don't think it's difficult. I think I said earlier, this is my favorite part, getting to the finished product. I mean, that's what keeps me going through the whole process. And so it's real exciting to me to stage a piece up and get some good photographs of it. And looking around at it, looking at it through, I usually take, you know, 20 plus photos of a single piece, trying to look at it from different angles, you know. And like with this particular shot, I took the photograph and I looked at it on, and I did this with a camera phone. I looked at it on my phone and thought, oh, that's the money shot right there. Just the lighting was right. Just the different, you know, I don't know if you're interested in the details of the camera phone. I have just a Google phone, and, it's a little bit of an older phone, but I use a lot of times for the close-ups, I'll use the portrait setting so that you get that really nice macro detail, and then it kind of blurs out the background. But, something that might be helpful too is look at your shot and make sure when you're taking it that you've kind of excluded the background. If it's, you know, a lot of times I'll see a shot and I'll take the shot and then I'll realize, oh, well, there's a metal shelf that you can see in there. I didn't even see it when I was taking the shot. So, you know, just kind of trying to compose your shot and get all the right elements in there.
Snap a few shots. I mean, that's the thing about digital, right? I mean, you can delete them, right? You can delete them with the touch of a finger. So, so take a photograph of it and then really look at it and make sure, you know, is there anything in there that you, cause you're right, you're doing it right there. So you can move it out if you need to, or make adjustments.
Right.
Well, you know, we just had Sandra with Black Lab Furniture Revival on last week discussing staging. Mm-hmm. How you stage is also important to your close-up shots, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Staging, as I've gone farther into this, I stage less than I used to. I used to add quite a bit of, you know, prop work, but I don't do that as much. I just like a tastefully staged piece that doesn't have too much going on with it, make it more about the actual piece. Some of this, Sandra's work is amazing. That her staging is just incredible. You know, I still struggle with staging sometimes. I think probably close-up work is my best. My best photographs are the close-ups. But, and, you know, getting lighting right, what I've been doing is I actually purchased some presets last year that if the lighting, so like if I photograph on an overcast day, I will edit my photos through a preset to correct all the lighting issues, and then I'll send it through Snapseed to get the perspective tweaked a little bit. Or these are, you know, mostly free tools that you can do. I did pay a little bit for the presets, but, you know, it's been well worth it, and they can just be used over and over again. And it just corrects like the shadowing, because I don't have a great lighting setup, and it just, you know, those are just little things you can do to improve your image quality and get the lighting better. Because I know that when you send a picture to Instagram, if the lighting is not good, then it also hurts your engagement as well.
Yes, yeah, it really does. And you know, the importance of photography, we try to emphasize so often because you can have actually a phenomenal piece that you've refinished, but presentation is everything. And if you have it, it, you know, I've seen pieces where I really look at it, I'm like, you know, that's a really nice piece, but the presentation, whether it's the staging or whether it's just bad lighting, sometimes photographs look like they've got like they're very gritty, almost like they have a haze over them, or the angle that it was taken, especially when it's taken front on, it's the camera is not parallel to the piece of furniture, so it looks distorted. And these don't sound like major things, but they really are, because all we can see is the photograph that was posted. And so
It's just kind of been trial and error for me. I went from using an older phone to switching to an actual SLR camera to switching back to a phone, and I found that the combination I have right now, and then kind of just observing how other artists took really good, crisp, clear photographs. And whenever I use my phone to photograph, I don't just handhold it. I will anchor it on something. I'll use a chair or a table to make sure there's like no movement, and take several pictures from several different angles to kind of sift through to make sure the clarity is there. Because once you edit and send those over to Instagram, sometimes you'll lose some of that clarity, and they kind of grain out, and those are things that just drove me crazy for a long time, and I've just kind of worked through them. It's just been, like I said, trial and error and working through it.
And I think you touched on this earlier, but just to emphasize it further for those that are maybe a little bit nervous when it comes to shooting good close-ups, and that is, as you said, put your camera in all phones, you know, whether iPhone, Google phones, all those Android phones, I believe have those, but that's that portrait mode that you mentioned, because that is when you blur that background.
The portrait mode is my favorite for taking close-ups, especially for taking close-ups of tops. So I love a good wood grain top, and to get a good close-up of that, I use usually from that same angle that I took this particular close-up from, and just from a raised angle, making sure I've not included any background in there, even though it would be blurred out. What we want is just a little bit of the prop in there, and then just a really good focus on one section of the wood grain, and that just creates a really beautiful photograph.
I noticed you also pull, on occasion, you'll pull out your drawers and stack them and snap a few shots of just your drawers.
Yeah, I like that detail. That wasn't my idea. I saw someone else quite a while ago do that. I wish I knew who that was to give him credit for that. If it's you, raise your hand.
That's right.
But I thought I had some drawers that had some really pretty detail, really beautiful hardware, and then I had added some side detail, and I thought, oh, this would be the perfect piece to stack those drawers and take that picture. So it's just a different, really neat, little touch to get a good picture of all those neat little details on the drawers.
Well, it especially shows off the drawer liners as well, which is nice.
Yeah, I love good drawer liners. I like to open those drawers and peek in.
So you have your piece, you know, done, it's completed, it's staged, you're walking around it, you've got your Google phone, you're taking photographs, you've got your presets. When you mention presets, is that an app or does that load into your phone app?
So the presets I use are on Lightroom. So I purchased the presets. You can buy them from a lot of different, I guess a lot of different photographers out there sell them. The ones I got are specifically for like staging home applications like furniture, rooms, etc. Because it some of them, I think there are six or eight on the package that I have, and they, if you send a photo through there, through Lightroom, it, and just hit that preset, it just cleans up all the muddy lighting and the corners, and a lot of times it's too bright, so I will have to go through there and kind of bring the lighting down so that it's not washed out. But it's just terrific for these pieces that you know, I'll get a great picture, but it'll just not be the right lighting, even though it's super clear. But it, in fact, those pictures actually work better with the preset, because then, you know, once you apply the preset, it just cleans the lighting up. I try to get almost exactly the natural color of the piece, so that it's not a distorted color. And it really helps me, especially with white, because white, I work a lot with white or lighter colors, neutrals, and it's easy for my pieces to kind of blend into my staging wall, which, you know, was just a real challenge for me to get around that. And so these presets help me a lot. And then I can send from Lightroom, I'll send to Snapseed and then do all the different, and Snapseed is free, and it's got all those different little tweaks that you can make through that app, and, you know, add your shop name or whatever on there, and just a really nice, easy application, and put it together and send it to Instagram.
Yeah. A lot of people use Snapseed, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I really like Snapseed. Yeah. It's a really, really good app.
I'm curious, your staging wall, where is that at? Is that in your home or is that in your garage? Studio?
It's in my garage. It's just inside my garage door. It's as close as I could get to a really big light source. So yeah, it's really the only place. When I first started taking pictures, I did it inside my house and the lighting was absolutely horrible. I tried everything, you know, people would tell me, just use white light bulbs, et cetera. And just the lighting was terrible. The composition was terrible, but you know, that's where I started. And my original pictures were really awful, and I staged with goofy stuff like Keurigs and, you know, coffee makers, kind of crazy stuff. But, you know, it's just, you live, you learn, you pay attention to the mistakes, you know, you give yourself a break and just move on.
But that's fun to see how far you've come, isn't it? To see,
oh,
hey,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
I've made progress.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
So what do you have for the floor? Is that, do you just lay that out, or is that a permanent wood floor?
So I have two floors in there. One is peel and stick vinyl that's stuck right to my floor, a garage floor, which was a really dark brown. But then I found this, it's a vinyl snap together floor, and I just laid that on top and of the floor. So I think I bought two boxes of that. So it was a total of about $30. It was inexpensive and on sale. And so I have that one now, but I'm wanting to change that up. So I'll probably be changing my staging floor pretty soon to a more neutral, less gray look. And then I'm going to do something different with my staging wall.
Okay. We'll be eager to see what, see how that develops.
Yeah. I can't guarantee how soon that's going to happen, but that's my plan.
That's the important thing, that you
that's
have
right.
a plan.
Always have something in the works.
That's right. Well, Shelley, congratulations again on winning Best Close-Up, and thanks for sharing your tips on achieving great close-up shots. We have enjoyed having you on in the past, and today was definitely no different. We appreciate your contribution to this tremendous community.
Well, thank you so much, Lane. And once again, thank you to everyone that voted in the GBA Awards and all the judges and everyone. I just appreciate everyone's effort and all the beautiful work. So thank you, guys.
Yeah. And thanks for mentioning the judges. They, I said this often,
oh my
I felt
gosh.
Bad for them because they,
I can't imagine. So. There was so many, so much beautiful work. I'm sure it was really a tough job, but I really appreciate it.
As they came in and as they were compiled into a format that so the judges could scroll through everything, I was like, oh my word.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It was weird because we were so excited that so many people had participated. But at the same time, I was like, oh, the judges.
Having to look through all of that. Yeah. I just would have been overwhelmed. There are so many talented people refinishing furniture right now. It's just amazing.
It really is. Thanks definitely for participating, because we have been able to enjoy and be inspired from your work, Shelley. So thanks again. And we're going to have you back on soon. But until then, have a great afternoon refinishing.
Great. Thanks so much, Elaine. Have a great day.
Take care.
Today's refinishing tip comes from Emily with 1379 Design.
Hello, everyone. This is Emily with 1379 Design with a quick refinishing tip. I like to use hemp oil or furniture salve to seal my chalk painted and mineral painted pieces. It soaks into the paint and becomes one with your finish. And to get a buttery smooth feel, I sand after applying the hemp oil or furniture salve. I use a super high grit sanding pad or a really old, well-used one, and work the salve or hemp oil into the piece, distressing the edges as I go. It eliminates the mess of sanding dust flying everywhere, and when you wipe with a microfiber cloth, you're left with a buttery smooth finish that cures super hard and durable after 30 days, believe it or not. Let me know if you try it.
Thank you, Emily. Sealing refinished pieces is so important, and your tip is incredibly helpful. It's time to hear what your refinishing friends are up to. Here are a few reporting on what they're working on in their studios this week.
Hey everyone, this is Ashley with A Vintage Perspective in Woodbridge, Virginia. Thanks so much, Lane, for having us on the show this week. This week in our studio, we're working on refinishing one of our beautiful antique Victorian quarter sawn oak secretary desks that we currently have in stock. It has two silvered mirrors and gorgeous scroll detail work, and we'll be refinishing it as part of a custom order for one of our clients. We'll be restoring the original exterior oak finish with Howard's Restore finish in dark oak and lining the interior rear wall with a lovely embossed damask wallpaper, painting it to add a little extra pop of color for her home office. The drawer's interiors will be refreshed with YSL furniture salve, and the desk also features its original brass hardware that we'll be cleaning and reaffixing before sending it off to its new home. Be sure to follow us at a.vintage.perspective on Instagram and Facebook to see the final product. We'll see you there.
Hello, friends. This is Patricia, and I am the creator and founder of Fresh and Finishes out of New Jersey. This week in my studio, I am working on two custom pieces, one of which is a vintage cedar chest that I've painted in the color White Dove under the Benjamin Moore Advanced paint line. I've stenciled the client's granddaughter's name and added some beautiful soft floral transfers. In addition, I'm also working on a very cool and very old nap jointed oak washstand that I've painted in Paris Gray by the Annie Sloan chalk paint line. I've distressed it and added dark waxing. I hope to clean up the hardware this week and install. Thank you so much for allowing me to be part of the Before and After Zebra podcast. If you want to follow my creations, I could be found on Facebook under Fresh and Finishes, and my handle under Instagram is freshandfinishes_NJ. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. This is Katie from Grain and Paint Designs. You can find me on Instagram at grainandpaint.designs. This week in my shop, I'm going to be pretty busy working on a few different projects. I'm really trying to get through as much as I can in my inventory before my kids both finish up school for the summer, which seems to be coming really quickly now. So I have a lot on my plate, but that's a good thing. I have a great pair of vintage Drexel bachelor chests that were a Facebook Marketplace find. I was so excited about them. I started stripping them down last week, and I'll be continuing that this week, just really giving them a more lightened up modern look. So stay tuned for that. I'm also working on a cool vintage sideboard. Initially, I was hoping to keep it natural wood, but the veneer on both the tops and the sides was very brittle and bubbling up in just a lot of places, too much to really repair to keep it natural. So I'll be patching that up this week and preparing it for paint. I picked out a great paint color for this sideboard, so I'm excited about that. And then finally, a friend of mine just reached out to me last night. She's passing on a solid wood dresser that had been her son's when he was a baby. She's getting rid of it now that he's grown, and she thought of me. So I'll be picking that up from her this week and prepping it for paint. I always love when my friends and family think of me for their furniture pieces. Sometimes it's, you know, pieces they're getting rid of or pieces that they see on the side of the road that they think I might be interested in. So I'm always appreciative of that. yeah, so that's it. Those are my projects for this week in my shop. Thank you so much, Zebra, for including me in this week's podcast. And I hope everybody has a great week.
Thank you, friends. Listeners, make sure you go check out their social media feeds. Hi, Jen. It's duck hunting season again.
Hey, Lane, that's right. We are full on duck hunting right now.
Yeah, there are multiple reasons to be excited about spring. And one of those is that it's time for the spring zebra furniture flip. I have to ask you this question because this is our third event. We did it spring, fall of 2021. And now, of course, it's 2022. That seems so weird to say that.
I know.
But it's spring 2022. So this is the third event. So what do you enjoy as the Zebra Furniture Flip host?
Oh my gosh. There's so much that I enjoy about it. I love encouraging people to get out there and participate in something like this and doing something like this, stepping out of their comfort zone, and getting their work out there. That's what I really love doing. And sometimes it takes an opportunity like this or a competition like this, in order to give people that push. So that's one of the things that I love about hosting, but also I love seeing the work, you know, who doesn't? Yeah. I think everybody loves a great before and after, but especially with this competition, I think we're allowed to see the in between as well. And that makes it super fun.
Yeah, I like that too. But I like your point about before and after, because, you know, the more extreme the before and after is, the more wow it is. And this competition, this event is all about extremes, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Because even when you're, you know, this whole business, this furniture refinishing business, I guess, is all about the before and after, right? So we're always seeing befores and afters on our feeds anyway. But this competition is taking that to the next level. And that was my whole reason behind this concept, is that we're not just looking for your everyday before and after. We're looking for your extreme ugly duckling to beautiful swan makeover.
Yeah, that's very good. Yeah. Well, let's go over the dates for the event real quick. This Thursday, May 5th, begin transforming your ugly duckling. We ask you to wait until then, even if you have your piece, because part of the challenge is to work within some time constraints. And as well, it's fun knowing you're working on yours while many others are doing the same. And then, of course, 2 weeks later on May 19th, all transformed pieces must be posted on that day. And I think Jen has touched on this in her stories as well. But if you post your finished or your completed piece, your swan, we should say, earlier than the 19th, we ask you to still post it again on that day on May 19th, and that's a Thursday. It's crucial as well that you post it with the hashtag Zebra Furniture Flip. Otherwise, we'll not see them. And that is especially important for Jen as she reviews all the entries. Then on Wednesday, May 25th, we will announce here on the podcast Jen's three finalists. And these three pieces will be on enjoyzebra.com for public voting. 1 week later, on June 1st, we will announce the flip winner again here on the podcast. But I just wanted to emphasize that the winner is chosen by the public, so the person with the most votes. And if you would, Jen, remind our listeners what you are looking for when you're choosing the three finalists, because you have a lot of entries to go through. And so you've got key things that you're looking for.
Right. Kind of like we mentioned just a few minutes ago, Lane, we are looking for the dramatic makeovers. But above and beyond the dramatic makeovers, one of the things that I really try to look for is how ugly that before was. The longer that this competition has been going on, I think the more and more people are kind of getting it that we're not just looking for a piece that needs a lot of work, maybe has been neglected, has a really bad paint job. We are looking for the pieces that, and I love this phrase, this was sent to me by one of my sweet followers, that was born ugly. So it didn't become ugly over the years because somebody did something to it or somebody neglected it. It was born ugly, meaning that it's just not a desirable piece. It's not something that the average person would look at and think, I want that in my home. It's something that even as a furniture refinisher, you might walk right by if you see it in a thrift store or even if you see it on a curb. So we're really looking for you to take that ugly, undesirable, outdated piece and turn it into something that people want in their homes. So that's number one. We're looking for the dramatic, ugly to swan makeover. But also, you guys, one of the things that's so important about this competition and other competitions and just selling your furniture in general is I'm looking for the beautiful pictures. If your photo is not showing off your piece in its best light, it might get passed by, even if it's a great makeover and a great piece. So I want to encourage you guys to really focus on that this time around. You know, do your makeover, do your magic, do all the things that you can do, but make sure you're sending us and putting out an incredible photo that is going to catch our eye, because there's so many entries. And unfortunately, I can only pick three. So the ones that are going to stand out are going to be the ones that are beautifully photographed.
Yeah, that's such a good point. We've tried to emphasize that in multiple podcasts. And I know you and I have talked about it in previous podcasts about the flip. And that, you know, that of course is the lighting, that of course is the angles, the straight on angles, side shots or whatever, but also the staging. And I would just encourage folks that if they struggle with staging, to simplify is always best, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. Less is more, in my opinion. Less is absolutely more. Let your piece and let your work shine. Don't worry about adding this or adding that or trying to make it look like it should fit into this sort of room or this sort of decor. Let your piece shine.
So Jen, you know, there are going to be some out there that definitely want to participate, but you know, they're looking at May 5th, which is Thursday, and they haven't found an ugly duckling yet. And I know you've already touched on what you're looking for, so that's extremely helpful. But I guess with respect to, is there any places to look in, you know, like, is, do you tend to find these ugly ducklings in key areas? Like, is it usually like antique stores, or is it Facebook marketplace? Like, what are your thoughts on that? Is there anything you can provide insight wise for where to go to look for these ugly ducklings?
Well, first of all, let me just say, you guys, that it's spring, and spring means spring cleaning. So one of the places that you guys should be looking is the curb. This is where you might find some really great pieces, because one, you're not going to have to pay for it if it's free. And two, people are typically throwing out the ugly, the outdated, the unwanted. So definitely look on the curb for a competition like this. But yeah, my go-tos are thrift stores and Facebook Marketplace. Go to the thrift stores where you might typically not find good pieces. I can think of a couple in general that I purposely don't go to because I know that they never have anything quote unquote good. But for this competition, we're not looking for something good. We're looking for something ugly. So those might be the thrift stores that you want to go to. Same thing with Facebook Marketplace. And I tell people this, even outside of this competition, like, even look at the bad pictures. So I was just telling you guys to, you know, make sure that your photography is good on your pieces. And that holds true for Facebook Marketplace. Sometimes when you're scrolling, the ones that stop your scroll are the ones that are a good picture of the piece. But look beyond that. Look for the bad pictures. You know, that's where I've found some hidden gems. So don't just look at the good, quote unquote, good pieces. Look at the bad pieces too. That's where you'll find some. And then again, along with it being spring, it's rummage sale season. Another great place to find some good, cheap ugly ducklings.
Boy, what a great point about being spring cleaning and people putting things out on the curb. I joke a lot about here on the podcast that being out in the country that I rarely see anything on the curb. Because we don't really have curbs.
But, right.
I know what that means. It's at the end of the driveway, right? Well, the other day I was driving not too far from where we live, and somebody had placed a bunch of furniture out. But as I was driving by, I wasn't going that slow, but I just sort of glanced at it, and I'm like, hey, man, finally somebody is putting some pieces out by the road. But I do recall, as I did see them briefly, I thought, ugh. Those are ugly. So that's why they put them out there. But that is such a good point. And maybe that's driving outside of your neighborhood into other neighborhoods too, right? And just seeing what's out there.
Yes, for sure. I actually just saw one on my way to dropping off my daughter at school today. I was going to stop and take a picture, but it was too busy with, you know, school traffic. Yeah. But it was a big hutch, ugly and outdated. And, you know, it would have been absolutely perfect for this competition because I definitely saw the potential in it. But yeah, drive outside your neighborhood, maybe neighboring towns, or I know that some towns have like their, you know, big trash days or spring cleanup days. You know, check your local newspapers or Facebook groups for that, you know, where I'll see like, you know, on this day you can set your large items out, and that's a perfect time to do some duck hunting.
Yeah, for sure. Well, what do you say to someone who has never participated in the flip? Why should they join this event?
They should join it to get their work out there, get their name out there, step out of your comfort zone, and challenge yourself. One of the biggest takeaways that I've had from the last two competitions, from everybody that we've talked to, people that sent me messages, and then people that we talked to on the podcast, the winners and finalists, was that they learned something. Mm-hmm. They grew from this opportunity. They gained more followers. They sold something, you know, whatever. So everybody, regardless of whether they were a finalist or whether they were the winner, everybody gained something from this. And ultimately, on top of that, on top of, you know, gaining the experience, the exposure, the sale, the confidence, on top of gaining that, you also have a piece finished. You know, you're yeah. doing this anyway. Whether it's your side job, your side hustle, your hobby, your full-time job, you're doing this anyway. Why not incorporate that into a competition where there's, you know, healthy competition, there's camaraderie, and there's an amazing prize package this time.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you touched on this, but I think there's just something fun about doing this type of thing with other people, because, you know, it is a competition, but at the same time, folks are encouraging one another as you go through the process. This is such a great community, and I've heard this over and over again, and I've seen this, you know, through the podcast and through our social media itself, but just the fact that people really do support one another, it doesn't even feel like a competition oftentimes. And that's even within the community, as far as just like buying, transforming, and selling furniture.
Right.
You know, you got a lot of people coming together and communities as refinishers and supporting one another. So it doesn't even feel like a competition, really.
No, it really doesn't. It honestly, if anything, what I've learned from the previous finalists is that they've actually like become closer, and they've like become friends through this competition. Once it got to the point where the three finalists were named and we wanted to kind of get it out there, like, okay, guys, public, vote, they were sharing each other's, you know? So it was like, it wasn't even about vote for me. It's like, look at everybody's work, vote for your favorite. And I just thought that was fantastic. I think the competition part of this is mostly within yourself. Can I do this? Can I do this in this time frame? Can I find a really, really ugly piece and make it pretty? Can I step outside of my comfort zone? Mm-hmm. So it's all in. It's very healthy, positive competition for sure.
Yeah. Was you're working on transforming your pieces from May 5th through the 19th. Make sure you tag Zebra Painting and Perfectly Imperfect Furniture RES we will try and share your progress with our community. That's another advantage, because if you maybe you're starting out or you don't feel like you don't have the exposure that you would like, well, there's certainly opportunity to be exposed through these accounts, and we'll try to share what we can, but we can't share if we don't get tagged. So that's so important. And let's talk really quick about sponsors, because we have, I would say that's something a little different this time. We've really grown the sponsorship prize. And so we've got a lot of phenomenal companies. Jen, why don't you share who those companies are?
Sure. Some of my favorites, you guys. We have Zebra, of course, the best brushes in the world. We also have Melange Paints. We have Shacto Interiors. We have Mud Paint, D Lawless Hardware, and also Surf Prep.
Yeah, that's we were so excited to have this group. It's a phenomenal group of companies. So, and then I just want you guys to know that we'll have those prizes listed on our IG accounts for you to check out. And so look for those this week as well. Listen, Jen, you worked so hard at this whole event, from encouraging people in the beginning and sharing, you know, just some of the rules. Is there anything that you want to share with people that you feel like you get? Because a lot of people contact you direct and say, hey, what about this? Or can I do this? Is there anything that you would like to share before we close that you feel like is really important for others to know? Like a lot of common questions that you get?
Sure. I can definitely think of a few. I've had a few people ask, can I enter more than one piece? And the answer to that is no. We're just looking for one piece per person. And guys, I think you'll end up appreciating this, because you'll find that this process is going to go fast anyway. So focus on that one piece. Don't worry about getting multiple pieces in. So one piece per person. Also, let's see. I've been asked, what if I don't find a piece or don't have a piece by May 5th? That's okay. You guys can jump in whenever you do find your piece. So let's say you find it on May 10th, go ahead and jump on in and get started. Obviously, the sooner you have it, the more time that you have, but some people work best under pressure anyway. So jump in whenever you get your ugly duckling. Don't feel like, you know, you've missed the boat if you don't have it by May 5th, but you do have to have it done, and you have to have it posted on May 19th in order to be part of the competition.
Well, I was just going to add, when you were talking about you don't have to start May 5th if it's May 10th, but I recall several folks in the last competition where they didn't start on the start date. And I think they even debated, like, should I go ahead and do this? I mean, because I don't know if I can complete it. But they did, and they loved the challenge of it. So don't right. allow the date, if it passes by and you haven't found your piece yet, to not start.
Right. And everybody works at their own pace. So, you know, some might think, oh my gosh, May 5th to May 19th, I'll never have enough time. Whereas other people might think, well, I'll be able to get that done in a day or two. So, you know, everybody's different. Everyone has different schedules, different lifestyles. So it is a shorter time frame, but it's definitely, definitely doable. And it's also doable even if you jump in at the end. So don't let that discourage you. We also want to encourage, if you've participated in the past, even if you've been a finalist or a winner, come back and join us. Mm-hmm. You're not excluded from, you know, becoming a finalist or winning again. In fact, we'd love to see you again. If you haven't participated, oh my gosh, you guys, I would love, love, love to see you. I just encourage you to do this for yourself, mm-hmm. to get your work out there, challenge yourself, meet new people, feel like, you know, you can become more of a part of this community. Whatever your goal is, I think you will gain something from this. Don't be scared. Everybody here is very nice. You know, so I just encourage you to do it. If you've never done a competition in the furniture, you know, arena before, like, do it. This is a fun one. This is where you should start. So, just want to encourage everybody to join us.
Yeah. And if you have any questions that you haven't heard answered, As always, I know Jen is always kind to respond back to messages, so feel free to reach out to Jen at her account, Perfectly Imperfect Furniture RES, or you feel free to contact Zebra Painting or any of the other sponsors. So feel free to ask those questions, especially as we wind closer to May 5th. Well, thanks, Jen. We cannot wait, and we'll check in with you next week.
Sounds great, Lane. Thank you.
Accolades is defined as an acknowledgement of merit. Welcome to our new segment on the podcast called, well, Accolades. We wanted to give refinishers the opportunity to give accolades to their fellow refinishers that they admire for their extraordinary refinishing skills and hard work. This week's accolades are given by Erin with Refurbished Ish.
Hey, this is Erin over at Refurbished Ish, and I just wanted to give major accolades to Kelly over at Patina Design. If you have not checked out her work, you are missing out. I find myself on a regular basis going to her profile for inspiration, for ideas. She shares the best tips and tricks. One of my favorite things about her is she knows when to accentuate a wood grain and when to paint it. And the combination of both that she just has the most amazing eye for wows me every single time. She's absolutely amazing. If you haven't checked her out, please do so. Do yourself a favor. Keep up the great work, Kelly. We love you.
Thanks, Erin, and accolades, Kelly. We have some exciting news. As a reminder, each week we have three featured giveaways on our Instagram account, Zebra Painting. On Mondays, we feature the hashtag Zebra Furniture Art. This is where we highlight a great artistic close-up shot of a refinished piece. We give away a surprise Zebra paintbrush and have your beautiful refinished shot placed in a frame and sent to you. Every day, we feature one post under the hashtag Zebra Weekly Pick. And this is a piece of refinished furniture that stands out from the crowd for exceptional beauty. The following week, on Wednesday, we highlight the artist who received the most likes and award them with a Zebra paintbrush. And then on Friday, it's hashtag Zebra Drama, and this is where we feature dramatic before and after furniture makeovers. That selection also receives a Zebra paintbrush. Well, the prizes have gotten even better. Fusion Mineral Paint is now joining us by awarding the winner from each one of these hashtags with a pint of paint. Make sure when you post your pieces, use the appropriate hashtag so we can see your work and make our weekly selections. We look forward to continuing these great weekly contests, and a huge thank you to Fusion Mineral Paint for joining in on the fun. During the month of April, we were singing the blues with the rain that comes, and it's only fitting that our theme for the Zebra Review for May would be April Showers Bring May Flowers. You have tons of creative liberties with this theme, from incorporating hand-painted flowers to stencils and transfers. You can showcase flowers on the outside and or in your drawers. Tag your flower pieces that were refinished from May 1st through May 31st, 2022 with hashtag The Zebra Review. Our five judges will be choosing three winners. Our judges are Jen of Perfectly Imperfect Furniture RES, Katie Cloud of Katie Cloud, Katie Scott of Salvage by K. Scott, Lauren Schwachina of Portland Rose Studio, and Sarah of Sitting Pretty Home Decor. Our sponsors this month include Fusion Mineral Paint, D. Lawless Hardware, Surf Prep Sanding, and Zebra Paintbrushes. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Zebra's Before and After Furniture Refinishing Podcast. Today's episode, along with information about today's guest, is also featured on enjoyzebra.com under the podcast tab at the bottom. Your comments and suggestions for future episodes are always welcome, and we encourage you to share them by sending your emails to me at laneball@enjoyzebra.com. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and happy refinishing.